And this is like a special edition of That's Outrageous.
I'm thrilled. This is exciting.
Well, here's what happened. We weren't going to do an episode this week because I couldn't get my act together. But
Try.
yeah, but then last week we talked about the film Along Came Polly, and the intention was to focus on Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
Right. But in a surprise twist, the character of Philip Seymour Hoffman in that film, Sandy Lyle, a beloved character in that film,
Yeah, he's the best part of that film.
arguably the best part, turns out was I'm just going to say semi-inspired by my very own high school friend, Steve.
That's amazing. And I said, if Steve's anything like Sandy Lyle, even if it's only like a tiny bit, that's a guy I want to talk to.
Well, listen, of course you do. So I reached out to Steve and he very graciously agreed to do this last minute like podcast tonight so that we could bring it to the adoring public this week and we could find out the whole origin story to the Sandy Lyle character.
And I'm legit like excited to know how this went down.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right, but first, this is That's Outrageous, and I am Chrissy.
And I'm Anne, and I'm looking at Steve, look dressed to the nines in a button-down shirt. I'm in sweatshirt. Like a dirt bag, but you know what? That's why he's a professional, and I'm not.
Professional. All right, well, welcome to the podcast, Steve.
Yay.
Hi. Yeah, thank you so much. This is so fun. So fun to see you. I'm definitely a fanboy of the show, and I'm delighted and honored, and a bit surprised to be asked on this very special edition.
Wow.
Yes,
We're thrilled
and
to have you.
we are. And just for a little bit of background, like I said, Steve and I went to high school together. And here's another fact. Perhaps you recall this, Stephen. He and I were voted, both of us were voted most likely to succeed.
Really?
We were.
I forgot about that. There's actually a photograph in the yearbook
Yep.
of us, I believe, grotesquely clutching some dollar bills.
I was going to say, what I feel like at that time period, and even now, like what counts as being successful, you know? And I would argue perhaps it's not that. It's being successful in life with families and,
I don't think we had that perspective back
No.
in the late 80s. Chrissy and I go way back, though, that's for
We
sure.
do. And I will say, I'm not going to promise I won't post that photo because I probably will.
I'm dying to see it.
Oh,
Fucking
it's very
panning
cute,
out
actually.
ones, holding them like, check me out, baby.
It's gross for sure.
No, it's so cute. Anyway, I was very surprised and delighted to be voted most likely to succeed. I'm sure Stephen was probably expecting it, but I was not.
Maybe a story for another time.
Maybe.
Hi.
All right, so Steve, please tell us now. Please tell us your connection to this film and how it began.
All
Yes.
right.
All right. This is a story that's been, waiting to be told.
That's right.
It is. I think it's fascinating.
The Sandy Lyle origin story.
And I'm going to call it an exclusive. There we go.
I think it's
Is
great.
this breaking? This is has never been told. Okay,
Yeah,
this
this
is
has never been reported. This has never been told. There's been rumors.
exciting. Wow. Rumors circulating.
We're going to set the record straight tonight. So, Along Came Polly, which is a fantastic film, was written and directed by John Hamburg. And John has written and directed lots of great films, including Meet the Parents and Zoolander.
Oh, so he's the Ben Stiller guy. He's in
He's
with
a great affiliation with Ben Stiller. He did I Love You Man without Ben
I
Stiller.
love that movie. Like that movie makes me laugh so hard.
Slapping a bass. I
Slapping
mean,
the bass. That whole, I love that movie.
and also Why Me, which I understand that I learned that this was one of Chrissy's favorite films of all time, apparently.
It really is. I love that film. I can't explain
I was like, huh.
it.
Yeah. So John, you know, went on to a very successful career, but before killer movies. Yeah. Before John hit it big, we were housemates back in college. And in fact,
where were you guys? Where did you go?
We went to Brown University up in Providence.
Well, most likely to succeed. wouldn't they?
I've since underperformed, but you know, for a while it was going great. And so John, we were friends, we were housemates. And in fact, before one of John's first films was a college film that he made, wrote and directed with another friend of mine called My Man Hay. It was kind of a James Bond-like film. I had a very, very brief cameo in that film playing a severed head.
Oh.
Very short, not a lot of lines, like none. But anyway, he got
his start. That's tough when your head's been severed.
Exactly. I went to make a lot of lines. So the story back to Along Came Polly, which is one of John's first kind of really big movies that he wrote and directed, starts really with a dare. Many years before he wrote that film, a bunch of friends and I were listening to Jesus Christ Superstar.
As one does.
As you know, what the bros will do. We'll just, you know, crank up some show tunes and start singing.
Like, who wants some Chablis and some Jesus Christ Superstar? Let's do it, baby.
You got the scene exactly right. And we kind of thought it was fun and funny. And out of nowhere, the guys basically dared me to audition for a community theater production of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay.
Yeah. So as one does
in Providence, where you're auditioning.
You know, we were actually I was living actually in Manhattan.
Okay. But that's like fancy. I mean, a community.
Well, you know, it could be fancy, but you know, this is community theater. So I auditioned for a community theater.
Manhattan community theater. It's not absolutely. Like community theater in, you know.
Fair enough.
Wilmington, Delaware. No offense, Delaware.
So yeah, it was a production by Mary Help of Christians Community Theater. It was in the basement of a church in the East Village. I auditioned for the show and lo and behold, got the part of Judas.
Yes. That's a big part.
Right. Big I mean, part. Yes, it was a fantastic role. And it was kind of a mix of like semi-professionals, amateurs, and like kids from the church.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like, you know, the auditioning would have been a little tougher. You know, this is a tougher market.
Sure. I mean, for a community, this may be the top of the community theater level.
Yeah. You're selling yourself short, Steve.
Exactly. And to be fair, Stephen did star in some of our high school musical productions. You're not exactly a rube.
Well, I was going to say that story for the end, but you were the star of Little Abner.
Oh, we've seen those pictures, those shorts.
Okay. I was a supporting role. But so I ended up doing this show and it was, you know, filled with priests, actual real priests and nuns and kids. Anyway, it was a real community theater production. And of course, my friend John came to support me and see me. And he thought it was kind of a great production. And he thought it was absolutely hilarious. Just the idea.
Sounds amazing.
This kind of pell-mell kind of like thrown together, kind of serious and kind of a production of Jesus Christ Superstar. So when he wrote Along Came Polly, the character of Sandy Lyle, very, very specifically, is in a community theater production of Jesus Christ Superstar, a mix of kind of semi-professionals and not. And he plays the role of Judas. And when you look at the film, which I kind of rewatched this afternoon, it's exactly like what it was like. He really kept it. And so it's, you know, my mini claim to fame is the inspiration for just a small part of Sandy Lyle's character.
Yes, but all right, Stephen, two things.
Sure.
One, please tell everyone in real life what one of the nuns said to you during the production.
So I know this is a not a visual medium being on a podcast, but you know, I read a little Jewish, let's just say that. And I think it was not a surprise, although I could sing a little bit. I got a little bit typecast, frankly, at the church as Judas. I got a little typecast. in the church, there was all these nuns hanging out. We spent months. I mean, the production of this took us months.
How long was this process? I mean,
I would say it was easily 3 months of rehearsals and practicing. And the nuns would come up to me and they would look at me and they would grab my cheeks and say, "You look just like a Judas. You're the perfect Judas. You look just like a Judas." And I'm like, thank you. So it was a mixed scenario.
Oh my.
Yes. Okay. And then the other thing, Stephen, is that I believe that the other pivotal scene of this movie is the basketball scene.
Again, I can't. That makes me laugh every time.
So the basketball scene, you know, so there was some kind of connection to the Sandy Lyle character, but I think the one that was actually more impactful was the basketball scene. So I used to play basketball with John. We were friends. We played a lot of basketball. If you remember the scene, it's Stiller and Philip Seymour Hoffman playing basketball with these two very sweaty, hairy guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I play basketball, I'm known to be sweaty for sure. And frankly, perhaps a bit hairy. And I always, John never said this exactly, but I always kind of feared that I was also the inspiration for that. And I never really asked John directly that, but last year we were texting, I asked him, I said, I've always been fearful that I was the inspiration. He goes, "Well, playing against you was like, you weren't so hairy, but you were as slippery as a wet poncho."
Oh my, what a descriptor.
Yeah.
That's something.
I mean, John's a very talented guy, wonderful guy, but I think it needs to be said, this film would not have been made without me. I mean,
clearly. Yeah.
Hey, the two best scenes in the movie.
Sure.
The two best would not scenes. Have been because without you.
Yes. My sweaty nature and my typecast ability to get cast as Judas.
Well, why the market and that Philip Seymour Hoffman did not look like Judas because he's fair, blonde. You know,
right. I think that's where the you know, the similarities do end. Other than that, there's probably very few. Brilliant actor, and you know,
yeah,
very, very funny. So that's what, but other than that, I don't think there's any other real connections. John took it from there.
Well, Stephen, when the movie was coming out, did he say anything to you? Like, "Oh, by the way, if you see this movie, there might be some things that resonate with you."
Well, it was funny because all this stuff happened in the kind of mid-90s. And this film didn't come out till I think like 2004. So almost, 9 or 10 years later, I was kind of in touch, but he was in California. We weren't like, really in touch. And so, no, I went to go see the film. I was excited.
To support him. You're like, "Oh, I'm going to go see John's new movie. It's out."
Of course. I mean, it was a film I wanted to see. And of course, go see your friend's stuff.
Yeah.
And, seeing that scene was, that caught me by surprise for sure.
And did you contact him after and say, "Hey"?
Of course. I mean, absolutely. So, and yes, so it was verified, of course.
I would be very honored if Philip Seymour Hoffman was to be even in any small way portraying me on screen.
One of the best actors of our time.
I mean, incredible. It was absolutely. And actually, there was an article which I sent to Chrissy. It came out about a year ago, I think, in the Times or the Athletic.
Yeah.
Saying that basketball scene was probably the very best basketball scene in all of movie and cinema history.
Really? I mean, I would concur, but because I nothing, it makes me laugh out loud every time I see it.
White chocolate.
Make it rain. I can't. It's too much. That, and in the very beginning of the movie where he just walks in and it's just full slips and falls down and gets up like nothing happened, I will laugh out loud every time.
I mean, also, I think a very important cultural outcome of that film was the popularization of the word "shart."
Was that the origin story?
Well, you know, I did some research on this. John didn't, I don't think he, I don't know if he coined that phrase or created it, but certainly this was the first popularized usage of shart.
Yeah.
If you go to Urban Dictionary or things like that, John will absolutely get credit. And I say all the things that I've told my teenage daughters of this story, that's the one. They're like, there's no way he, you know, made that up. And I'm like, no, that wasn't the word, you know, 25 years ago. And now it is. They were wildly impressed.
Because I was wondering, because he explains it. You know, it's not like it was mentioned like it was in the vernacular. He gives a definition.
That's a great point. It needed to be, yeah. It needed to be said.
When I watched it, I kind of thought that. I was like, huh. And then I was like, when did this movie come out? And then I was like, I don't use that word personally. So I don't know when it origin yeah. story was, but that, I mean, look, to coin a phrase is something.
For sure.
Yes. And I did read that article, Stephen, that you sent me about that basketball scene. And I will say they were saying that if you go to lists of the greatest basketball scenes, that's not on the list. However, that author felt like it was purely because it truly captured the essence of like the pickup game, not necessarily the, you know, Michael Jordan type Hoosiers sort of things.
Hoosiers.
Yeah, I think this was more of an urban kind of, you know, actual, it's what an actual pickup games would look like. I mean, yes. And while we're name dropping basketball, I will say I once did in a very similar basketball court in the West Village back in this era, did play 2-on-2 basketball with a just becoming famous Ethan Hawke.
You did?
Sure.
I love Ethan Hawke.
And I hate Ethan Hawke.
I would be over him like a wet poncho. I'm like, you know what else is like a wet poncho? Me on you.
You would guard him very closely.
I've been like, I'm just playing the game, my friend. I'm just playing the game. Ugh, 90s talk, forget about it. Ugh.
How did that game go, Steven?
Yeah, who won?
That's a good. You know, he was a solid player. It was fine. I don't think he was anything special. I think he's a better actor than he is a ball player. But you know, it was I honestly don't remember who won. But it was a spirited game. You know, he was in it. As we all were.
Game. God, that's exciting. Like, legitimately, I'm excited by that.
So I think maybe when he saw Along Came Polly, he probably made that connection.
Okay, he's like, I played with that.
He's guy. Like, that was the guy.
That was the sweaty, hairy guy that was guarding me very closely.
But they were doing, in the movie, they're doing like shirts and skins, right? Or like he takes off.
Yeah.
Precisely. I mean, that's the brilliance. That's the brilliance of John Hamburg.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in the article, they talk about how it's a very long, in-depth article. They talk about how they filmed that scene. They like literally like slathered like goo.
Yeah. I was thinking like what was that on him? Because obviously it wasn't sweat. It was like.
It was goo, a lubey kind of goo.
Yeah. It looked like lube.
And there was many, many takes where Stiller had to rub his face down this.
Lubricant. They used a trampoline, it said. The guy, the hairy guy, was on a trampoline so that he could sort of land down on him.
And, you know, and I think, you know, Ben Stiller's commitment to his craft.
Oh my God, he's so good.
There, you know, all in for the trampoline goo.
Yes, yes. Well, and that article also said that the director had to sort of, just once, sort of encourage Philip Seymour Hoffman to go bigger with it because he was a little bit hesitant about that. He was starting to become like a serious actor and he didn't really want to like go that direction. But he said once he went there, it was like he needed to say nothing else. He just lived it.
Yeah. And that was John. I mean, John was the director on that film as well, I believe.
This yes. The end where he's in the boardroom, you know, making the case for Brian, what's his name, to get the thing is one of the funny. I mean, it's so funny and so ridiculous. And he plays it so serious that it's the best.
A lot of committed performances.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Well, Steve was also on the debate team. Maybe that was part of your thing too, Steve. Oh.
Yeah, did you make a compelling argument for?
That was a very brief. That was a very brief. But you know, post the, after this, my performance as Judas, my acting career really did kind of fall off a cliff a bit.
That was it. You didn't audition for any more theater. Was that, it?
That was the pinnacle of theater. I did continue to sing. I'm in a choir, the New York Choir Project.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a little plug for the New York Choir Project. We sing
where do you perform?
We sing in Brooklyn. We sing in clubs in Manhattan, and we do pop songs, pop and rock songs.
Really?
Yeah. It's fantastic. It's a great outlet for anyone who has, you know, been to the pinnacle of Manhattan Community Theater and needs an outlet to sing these kind of songs. The New York Choir Project is the place.
You know, I was an all-state choir, Steve.
You were?
I sure was. It was Delaware all-state choir.
That's a little state.
Yes, it is. But
a lot of heart.
But still, I mean, state, the best.
Nonetheless.
You could be the top. That's a big deal. I think we got to bring you into the.
I have to come audition.
The choir. We kind of rehearse near kind of where you live. And come on over. We'll bring you in. But we'll introduce you to the group.
I mean, I'll have to get my pipes ready. I don't know what I am anymore. An alto, a soprano. I could do them both. We'll see.
Yeah, this is a whole new facet of you. I had no idea.
Always, you know, peeling back the onion to reveal.
I mean, yeah, you guys have so many episodes of your podcast, and there's always something new.
Always new something to learn. New coming out. Well, now we're like 6 degrees of separation from Philip Seymour Hoffman, sure. Ethan Hawke.
Right.
And think of all the people in your friend John Hamburg's movies. I mean, like Jason Segel, James Franco, the list goes on and on.
Sure. You're Paul Rudd. Sure.
Paul Rudd? We're on the cusp, man.
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston? Yeah. All thanks to Steve.
Yeah. Right. I mean, sure. I mean, he'd be nowhere without me.
Look, I think that you have a lot for the rest of your life. You can be like, Sandy Lyle was loosely based on me. That's all you need. You can go in with, and people will go.
Done. Mic dropped. I was watching the movie again today, and it said he comes out of the rehearsal, and he's talking to Still, and he says, and Ben says, you know, how's it going in there? He goes, yeah, I don't know. It's full of amateurs. He goes, isn't that kind of the definition of community theater? Brilliant.
You didn't try to take over the main role too, did you? Did you just stick with Judas, or did you try to come?
I stuck with Judas. I stuck with Judas in the film, which I had forgotten. I was talking, I forgot what role he played. He played Judas, and then he also decided to play Jesus.
Yeah, he does steal
at
Jesus.
The same time to play both roles.
Yeah.
Which he announced on opening night in front of the kids.
And when he's practicing and he starts doing the part, and the guy's like, that's me, I'm Jesus. And he's like, oh, so funny.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, I'm so glad this story is now out in the universe. It had to be told.
We should find that reporter, send him and give him an exclusive.
you guys have the exclusive. I mean,
I'm telling you, I got so many, I posted today about Philip Seymour Hoffman in this movie, and I got so many people reaching out to me. That's why I was like, we got to get Steve on ASAP.
People wanted to know. The people wanted to know this origin story.
I love it. And I love the idea that it's like, you know, just how writers can just take little bits of memories and make it something great.
Absolutely.
I'm going to write a movie about Steve. We'll see what that's all about. Let's write a movie.
I say time, nothing comes.
I do like, Chrissy, that you are one of the few people in my life who still calls me Steven. When I was younger, I was known as a Steven. I've now moved to a Steve, and Chrissy still.
Yeah, she's sticking with it,
which I appreciate.
She's nothing if not formal, and you know, play by the rules.
I mean, but you should have seen her in Little Abner. I mean,
all right.
Va-va-voom.
I heard hot to trot over there.
No, not at all.
She blossomed.
I heard there were a lot of dates asked out after that performance.
No, that is false.
That's not what I heard.
I will say Stephen and I had almost every single class together. And in one famous class, completely unprompted, Steve turned to me and said, what'd you say? I'd really like to punch you.
You know, I really regret that, Chrissy.
I think I've said that too.
You know, you kept your act so together, kept it all there. I don't think it was an appropriate thing to say, but the sentiment, I mean, you understand, Anne.
Yeah, she keeps it cool. She doesn't lose.
Right.
I don't know if I've ever really seen Chrissy completely lose her cool.
You want to shake it up a little
annoyed.
Bit.
Annoyed. I've seen her get a little irritated, but never like furious.
And this didn't even faze her.
Well, it was the way he said it. You know, I knew he didn't actually want to punch me. I was just trying to pay attention in European history. That was it. And it somehow enraged him to the point of wanting to punch me.
You wanted to be number one most likely to succeed. And you were.
Yeah, I think I was feeling vulnerable and I did not do very well in that class. And I was certainly acting out. And I want to clear, while we're clearing records, since you also have the scoop, I apologize to you for saying that.
Thank you, Stephen. I've been harboring it for many years.
That's when the fury is underneath. It's like buried underneath. One day she's going to snap.
That's right. Yeah,
she makes, I mean, you can, you know, she can make people rageful, as you know. And,
no. Oh, yeah. Please. Yeah.
Although I think you said, oh, I could punch you. I think that's what you said.
Yeah. No, yeah. There was, I'm glad to hear that you never felt threatened.
We can laugh about it to this day.
Oh my God.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen, for coming on. And I hope that your first podcast experience was a positive one.
This is great. I love your show. It's been a dream of mine since the beginning of your podcast to be, and I'd say this is now going to be my top story, not my affiliation with this film.
I don't know.
Not my basketball career with Ethan Hawke, but my story now is that I was on the podcast. That's outrageous.
Listen, we've both fulfilled our aspirations of most likely to succeed. This is it.
We've done it. There absolutely.
Look at that.
The voters of our high school senior class they knew something that we didn't, Chrissy. And I think it probably propelled us to this great height.
I completely agree. That's right.
So exciting.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you so much. You're the best.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.